Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it.
Black, white, right, left.
Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
And welcome to a bonus episode of Whiskey Congress. I decided to take things a little bit easier, so I switched from the Knob Creek 120 proof to the Knob Creek 100 proof because I'm being responsible.
Okay.
Let's go with that. So a couple things we didn't get to talk about. It was a good conversation. I enjoyed it. But we have to talk about Stipe Miocic reclaiming the title as the baddest man on the planet, the MMA heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah, the UFC, you know what? So I think it's a great fight for Stipe. It's a microcosm of his career to a degree, right? So he loses to Cormier, you know, in the last fight. You don't hear, there's no buzz for him or really much at all because he lost, and he makes it known that he wants a rematch. So he gets the rematch. It ends up going for four rounds. It's literally a slugfest. He has to make some adjustments, really starts to go to the body, and then ultimately ends up being able to take out Daniel Cormier. And it just, you're happy for the guy. You know, being from Cleveland, being from the Midwest, you know, we take a lot of shit about, you know, the Burning River and the Browns were terrible and LeBron left, but he came back, and all those sort of things. And Stipe is just really just a great story out of Cleveland. The dude lives, I mean, I'm assuming he lives in fucking Parma. I mean, because
is it Strongsville? Anyway, somewhere in the
right. I mean, but he lives
suburban Cleveland.
Well, because I think he's a Parma firefighter.
I thought it was Independence for some reason.
Okay, whatever.
Whatever. All
right. I mean, those places are literally right next to. Let's argue about where. Right. I'm sure it's pretty. But either way. I mean, he's literally a firefighter today,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I mean, he had to take PTO to go fucking knock out Daniel Cormier,
right?
And then, like, he went back to work with a busted face to go fight fires, it's such a Cleveland type story. Really happy for him and his family. He's got a real nice. I've met him. His wife is a really nice lady. You know, his kids are cute. He's done work at our gym that I go to, and a couple other places in the area. He's a solid dude, and I'm happy for him. And you know, it was a hell of a fight. Now the question is there going to be a rematch? I don't know.
No, you know, I heard Cormier talking after the fight.
Dude's going to be 41.
He's going to be 41. And yeah. He basically made it sound like, I've accomplished a lot, but I'm not saying I'm going to do this again. Preparing for a fight like that is 3 months worth
of... And, you know, I mean, they made some decent money on this fight. I mean, it wasn't boxing money, which that's the thing that I don't think anyone really grasps, is that these guys don't make a ton of money. I mean, Stipe made... I don't know, like $700,000 to $800,000 for this fight, which is a lot of money.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a lot of money. I would take it in a heartbeat to do almost anything. But like compared to what boxers make, I mean, they're getting
The top end boxers, right? Because there's a lot of guys out
Stipe's
there.
Stipe's a top end fighter, though.
Oh yeah,
that's apples comparison.
Fair.
And the top-end boxers compared to the top-end UFC fighters are just not making the same, right? Top-end boxers are making, you know, $10, $15 million a fight, right?
Right.
Now, and that's not even, we're not even talking about Floyd Mayweather and the ridiculous amount of money that he brings in per fight, right? So, I mean...
Oddly, his biggest payday was against an MMA guy as a boxing match.
Right, but I mean, like,
as I'm saying, boxing actually got the money there.
Boxing got the money there, and Floyd had monster paydays before that, though.
Sure.
That was the biggest one, but just between the pay-per-view and everything else and the way that you're able to work those contracts, it just the money is just not nearly the same in UFC as it is in boxing, even though UFC is, I think, wildly more popular than boxing right now at the moment.
I think so. Certainly in the U.S.,
yes,
and that's where most of the money comes from. I was happy to see Stipe win. I like the guy. I've never met him, but I like everything about him, everything you said. And being, you know, a Cleveland guy is cool. And the fact that he's a Cleveland guy who stayed a Cleveland guy. He's not like a, I mean, I don't want to pick on LeBron because we've talked about my, I was a huge fan, then a hater, then a fan again. And now he's like forever on my good list. But LeBron went to L.A. And he's going to be an L.A. guy for a while. And when he's done, he might come back here. He might stay in L.A. I got no beef with what he does. But Stipe, like you said, is still a firefighter today.
Right.
He made almost $1 million for a fight and went back and grabbed a fire hose and, you know, jumped on a... I mean, that's... Right. That is...
Dude, I mean, before their last fight, before Stipe and DC's last fight, like, he put out a fire, like, a week before the fight. Now, that's... It's kind of cool, funny story, but, like, listen, there's... Like, your body takes a serious hit. Like, firefighters take a... Like, the toll on their bodies from carrying all that equipment, dealing with, you know, a lack of oxygen,
right,
while physically exerting yourself for an extended period of time in these extreme temperatures. Like, that is a hell of a tax on your body. And then he walked in and fought a dude for money,
yeah,
in a fucking cage match.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, can we just process this? Like, yeah, lights and girls and in Vegas and, you know, wherever the fight happens. But, I mean, are you fucking serious? Like, you're putting out fires and you're going into paid cage matches?
That fire doesn't know...
That fire don't give a fuck about your fight status. Or Dana White.
Or Dana White, yeah. And so, and congratulations to him. You know what, though? I felt a little... I don't want to say... I felt bad for Cormier. Not because he lost. He fought a great fighter. And as a guy that he had KO'd in their previous fight. Yep. So, you know, I love the fact that Stipe took him down with body shots. Because that's something that does not get used as much. Body shots are so fucking devastating. And as a guy who's boxed, I've gotten hit in the face a bunch of times. Getting your body scrambled stays with you the entire fight.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Stipe changed tactics and broke him down with body shots, I thought was great strategy. But after the fight, you know, Cormier looked a little defeated, which he was. And he was talking about, you know, maybe it's time to hang him up. And he's going to be 41, like you mentioned. I don't blame him for that for a second. But I almost want to see the rubber match between these two guys. And the thing I love the most about both fights is they were classy individuals to one another while trying to knock each other the fuck out.
Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, Stipe did do that little Irish jig thing after, but yeah, I mean...
But he didn't, like, taunt.
Right, he didn't taunt. I mean, it was just like, and we're done, right? And I really think a lot of times... I think Stipe's got a beef with Dana White in the UFC because they don't necessarily promote him, but they say, well, he's just a Cleveland guy doing a Cleveland thing, so we'll promote other people. And not that Stipe's looking for the attention, but he's like, listen. He
loves trash talk.
Right, Stipe's not a trash talker, but, I mean, he is, I mean, like, he's one of their best, most dominant champions that they've had. So they should kind of treat him like it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think they shit on him because he's not a trash talker. And one of the coolest things I've ever seen in combat sports was right before his first fight with Cormier, I randomly turned on the TV and Cormier was riding in a fire truck with Stipe, like, oh, here's where we patrol, you know, here's where we do. And these two guys are literally 2 or 3 weeks away from getting to a cage and trying to knock each other the fuck out. And they're hanging out in, that's why I thought it was Independence, Parma, wherever, somewhere, some Cleveland suburb, and they're talking to each other like, you know, two dudes who like to respect one another. They know that once the bell rings, it's go time, and they both fucking brought it. You can't argue that.
Nope.
And then the fight's over, and hey, we're human beings who respect how hard it is. And, you know, the stress of getting into a ring, I've gotten into a ring like in front of 20 people, most of whom were friends or family members. To get into a cage in front of thousands with millions watching around the world, that pressure, I can't even get my mind around. And then to perform at that level from both of those guys is, and all fighters at that level do it, and that's what makes them great. But that's something that gets underappreciated.
I agree. I mean, because it really, like, I wrestled.
Right.
And as a wrestler, you know, you watch it happen, and then all of a sudden, it's you and another guy in a circle with a referee, And there's people watching in the stands, you know.
Reacting.
Like, reacting. Like, I wasn't a wrestler. I wasn't trying to wrestle in college because I hated the sport. But, you know, the guy across from me, like, this might be his ticket, right?
Right.
Like, so, like, I'm in the sport even though I hate it. So, all of a sudden, like, you have to wash everything out. And it's all of a sudden, it's just you and that. There's no one else you can rely on. There's no one else that you can ask for help. Like, right. There's no, like, you just, it's you and that person, and either you beat them or you lose. There's no ties. And to do it at the level that professional fighters do, whether it's the UFC or boxing, I couldn't imagine it. I couldn't imagine the walk, you know, all the way from, you know, a locker room down, a quarter, half mile walk, you know. Well, I mean, like, some of those places, I mean, you got this quarter mile walk, you know, out of the locker room, down the thing, and then people screaming your name, playing music, they got, you know, you got
talking
a rapper.
Talking trash at you.
Right, I mean, like, you got somebody singing a song for you in front of you or behind you or something like that, you get in the ring and people are yelling at you, for you, against you, everything else, and, you know, there's cameras, microphones, everything. You know, you step into a ring, it's covered in blood already.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, it's just like, all right, this is where
they mop up some of it. Some of it.
Ish. You know, give it a quick spritz with the Simple Green and,
right.
and keep it moving.
And to do that and have the sportsmanship and the class to do that and stay classy to one another, I respect the shit out of that. And I hate when, I understand trash talking sells. It does. I get it. But Cormier versus Stipe also sold. I mean,
yeah.
Got us to go out. We went out. Whole different story, but
we might have drank too much.
We did drink too much, but we went out specifically to see that fight.
Yes,
and granted, we're in Cleveland. The crowd was jacked for that fight.
God, yeah.
And I don't know what the numbers turned out to be, but I'm sure guessing they were. Me too. And it doesn't always have to be, you know, Conor McGregor jawing at Floyd Mayweather.
Right.
Which, that fight was a farce anyway. We've talked about that multiple times. But anyway, so congratulations, Stipe. Talk about it, guys. Welcome on our show anytime.
Yeah, I don't know if I've got the balls, the pull to pull that off. But, I mean, I've never thought about it, but that's a good, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
I think
I have a better shot with him than Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, I just have not
I'm
been
sorry
able
for putting you two in the same, for both of you.
Right, I haven't been able to pull, like, I'm 0 for 3.
And on Stormy?
Well, I'm just saying between Stormy, Kelly, and Kelly Pavlik, and Conor, tried with Stipe, but who knows?
Maybe. All right, well.
We'll give it a go.
It's out there, we'll. If you listen to us and you want to tweet at him, say, come on, Whiskey Congress.
It's in the ether.
Yes, it is.
It's in the ether, Jim.
All right, so you brought up to my attention a controversy I was unaware of.
Another battle.
Yes. So you take this one, because I don't know how it took out, but I will have opinions.
So
I will have opinions.
I don't know where this came from. But there is a war waging right now on Twitter over chicken sandwiches. And the question is, who's the better chicken sandwich? Chick-fil-A, Popeyes, or Wendy's?
All right.
Now, here's the deal. I think who has the best chicken? I believe it's Popeyes. Problem with Popeyes is most of the Popeyes that, you know, in Cleveland are in the hood. Not always the best.
There's one, like, a mile from here, by the way.
Which is in the hood.
Yeah, it's kind of close. Yeah.
It's pretty. It's
hoodish.
Listen, I do work over there.
Okay. All right.
And so I think Popeyes has the best chicken out of those groups. Chicken
or chicken sandwich?
Chicken.
Okay.
Remember, words matter. So
just looking for clarity.
They have the best, just like pure, like the way they season their meat. It's always tender. It's always good. I think Popeyes has the best chicken, but they don't always have the best service. They don't always have fucking chicken. Like, how the fuck do you go to a Popeye's chicken? They're like, we ain't got no chicken. Right.
First of all, this is a very personal story for Steve that he's told me because he went to
I've been to two Popeye's. And they have fucking told me that they didn't have chicken. I'm like, why don't you have chicken? We ain't got no chicken. Okay. Well, you don't have chicken, but it's 7 o'clock. We close at 9.
I said, this is a very personal story for Steve.
That hasn't resolved anything. What, so you can't make more? No. What do you want?
I'm with you.
You want some shrimp? No, I don't want fucking shrimp from Popeyes. I want fucking chicken. Like, I'm a goddamn sign. Anyway.
As I mentioned, a very successful poster for Steve.
So, the battle is between the chicken sandwich between Chick-fil-A and Popeyes. And then Wendy's jumps into the mix. And Wendy's is the best fast food place on Twitter.
Period. I heard so many people say that.
Just follow their Wendy's.
Spicy chicken nuggets things have been great.
Right. Follow Wendy's on Twitter because they... I don't know who handles their Twitter feed, but it is some snarky, petty asshole, and they're great.
I've heard that from multiple outlets. The Alan Cox Show, we talked about Bill Squire earlier, they talk about how Wendy's kills it on social media.
Right. I mean, like, they're just funny. They talk shit about people. If you talk shit about them, they will talk shit about you. They also are, I mean, it's just...
Which is a new career path, right? Being snarky social media person is now a relevant thing.
Right.
And especially when you're repping a company like Wendy's. You can't go too far,
mm-hmm.
but you got to dig in there.
But they do push limits and they do push the edge, so it's a fun follow. So I guess the question is, so I pose this to you, which do you believe is the best chicken sandwich between the three, between Chick-fil-A, Popeyes, and Wendy's?
I don't know that I've ever had a chicken sandwich from Popeyes. I've had chicken.
And I think it's I think it's new.
Okay.
So, but it's...
Chick-fil-A is fucking awesome. I'm sorry. I know they had all that controversy over, the CEO and the anti-gay thing. And what's funny, we might as well be repping the Alan Cox Show right now, because Cody Poundcake Brown, who has also been on our show...
You might as well be doing that.
I might as well be doing that. He actually says... I like chicken, okay? Because he goes to Chick-fil-A all the time, and he's gay, and he's got, you know, people give him shit about it. He's like, damn it, their sandwiches are so good, I'm willing to ignore a little hatred. Of those three, I would definitely put Chick-fil-A ahead of Wendy's, and I cannot judge Popeyes. And the spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A is one of my favorite go-tos. Okay. And the fact that they're not open on Sundays is hilarious to me, because they are based in Atlanta, and they opened a branch in the Falcon Stadium, but they're going to stay closed on Sundays. I find that hilarious and dumb, but wait, hilarious.
So you're only open if the Falcons play on Monday night,
Thursday night. Yes.
The off chance that they catch a Saturday night game. Like, just ridiculous.
I mean, they do other stuff in that venue, I'm sure.
They do, but on other nights. But it's just like... Oh,
it's hilarious to me. Come on. You know...
It just doesn't seem like a good... Like,
a bar. We have the NFL Sunday ticket, but we're not going to serve beer on Sundays because... We don't believe you should drink on Sundays.
Right.
So.
Like, so if you want to come and watch the game and just drink juice, then you're good.
Drink soda water and eat. Yeah. But anyway, I think Chick-fil-A makes a killer sandwich. And the Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich was a go-to of mine in college because we had a Wendy's in our student union. And that probably biases me against Wendy's because I ate a shit ton of it back in the day.
So Wendy's actually used to be my favorite. But Wendy's has changed theirs. And it's actually not good anymore. So while their Twitter, account is really hilarious, like, they should not even be anywhere near this conversation. And I think some McDonald's, like, jumped in there for a brief second, and they got beat down so bad with their stupid Dollar McChicken.
Dollar McChicken, which I actually like that sandwich, but it's not that good. I just happen to like.
Weird.
I don't know why.
That's the one that's like, it's got a little mayo and lettuce.
It's not in the league of those, but for some reason that was one of my...
Weird.
I'll throw another dollar into this. And...
So the Popeyes chicken, I got one because I just wanted one.
Okay.
And it's really good.
Okay.
Really good. And
do we have the winner and new chicken sandwich champion of the town?
Man, I don't know.
So Wendy's is, you said it's falling off. Where do you stand on Chick-fil-A?
I mean, Chick-fil-A is very good. I try to avoid talking about it because I understand the controversy, but I go.
I do too.
And I love it.
They were one of my go-tos when I was working out in my last full-time gig before I went back to solo.
And part of it too, right, like, the service at Chick-fil-A is just so much better than all fast food places. All of them.
And
right? I mean, because they're just, like, their whole thing on, you know, being nice and respectful.
It's my pleasure to serve you.
Right.
You get some like, cute little things saying it's my pleasure to serve you.
Right, and the fact that I mean, like, listen, like, Chick-fil-A gets these crazy lines. Right? Like, you go to Chick-fil-A at lunchtime anywhere on any day of the week except Sunday, and there are They're 20 cars deep.
Yep, and they're split into two lanes.
They're split into two lanes. You got people outside with iPads, and they got the little kids in the visors.
They manage that so well.
They manage, like someone put on Twitter, like whoever designed the drive-through at Chick-fil-A, I want them to run the government.
I do not object to that.
And I don't object to it at all. Because, like, I've gone into that line, like, God, why did I do this to myself? And by the time, like, you're in and out of that line faster than you would be in and out of a line at McDonald's yeah. with 10 less cars.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's amazing how they operate. And, like, your order is rarely wrong. But if it's wrong, they're just like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Here's just an extra meal. You know, here's an extra sandwich.
Honestly, they've never got an order wrong for me, so I don't even know what that's like.
They got an order wrong for me once. I ordered the spicy chicken deluxe meal, and they gave me just a regular chicken sandwich, and I'm like, I was really hoping for the spicy chicken deluxe. If it's going to take you guys too much time, don't even worry about it. They're like, oh, no. Keep the old one. Gave me a new one. Here's a coupon for, you know, $5 or $10 or whatever the next time you're here. Like, oh, okay, right. Well.
Now, you want to tell a little personal story about not so good at comping a fuck-up? You and I went to a place, and I bit into a mac and cheese dish, and there was a chunk of metal, probably, it was a buffalo mac and cheese.
Yeah.
So it probably was from the fry thing, but I literally bit into a chunk of metal, didn't chip a tooth, thankfully the thing was laying flat.
But it was, it
could have easily fucked my shit up.
Yes, and it was not small.
No.
Like, you pulled it out of your mouth, and I'm like, well, that's a piece of metal.
Yeah. And the manager, or bartender, whatever she was, it was supervisor, manager, whatever, said, oh, I'll comp that for you. And you and I were both like, well, that's reasonable. She comped the mac and cheese that nearly broke my tooth. Yeah. Now, she did give me a $25 gift card, so I'm not going to name the place and say they fucked up too bad. But I thought they should have covered our check.
I forgot about that.
They did. You know, I used it without you.
That's fine.
Yeah, it was my
fear. Forgot about that aspect.
So, it's not too bad. It's not too bad.
What are you bitching for?
What's that?
What are you bitching for?
I think she underplayed.
There was no way they were going to comp our tab together. I mean, they gave you a $25 gift card.
Yeah, they did. And
we both, because I think we both had food, and we had drinks. I mean,
I think we had probably had a $40 tab.
Yeah.
Because the place is known for being inexpensive.
Right.
If we say how inexpensive, we'll be naming the place, which I won't do. But I thought they should have said, you know what? You could have handled this much more aggressively. Thank you for not doing that. At least comp our food.
They gave me a $25 gift card.
They did.
You're all right.
Not complaining, but it was a good story anyway. And they were a bit too nonchalant about it in my place because we didn't make a big deal out of it. And they were like, no big deal. Well, you know, if this thing was aligned differently, it would have jammed into my gum and I would have...
Okay. All right. Sorry. You're all right.
You're fine. Anyway, I'm fine. Yes, you're right. I'm being kind of overly dramatic, but I did think they fucked that up.
So we went a little bit out of order. Yes, we should have done this next story after the whole Stipe...
We should have.
Daniel
right.
Cormier thing. But Conor McGregor, somewhat back in the news... Because you got a little rowdy in Ireland.
Now, we were in a bar together when you showed me the story. You told me about the story, and then you showed me the video.
Yes.
And basically, if I'm going to interpret it, Conor McGregor goes into a bar in Ireland. He tries to, like, be Mr. Big Stuff. I'm going to slap down shot glasses in front of everybody and pour my proper 12 Irish whiskey in front of everybody. And this one older dude just had no interest at all.
Nope.
So he's handing the glass... Just put the glass away. McGregor puts it back in front of him. That motion repeats a couple times.
Yep.
And then finally, he's just like, takes the bottle, pours it. Does the guy even drink it? I don't think he does.
So the guy didn't drink it. The guy puts his shot glass, you know, extends it away from him on the bar. And then everybody else who got a shot, they all do their shot together. McGregor does his. And then he realizes the guy didn't take the shot. So McGregor just... punches him in the face.
Yes, and awkwardly. And then is escorted out of the bar post-haste.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, they scooped his little ass up and just got him out of there. But the funny thing about the shot was, it barely even fazed the old guy.
In Conor McGregor's defense, he was A, they were scooping him up right away. Like, they saw him get stupid. He did not, like, get to, like, line up and jack the guy. On the other hand, you punched a 60-year-old guy in the face. You sucker punched a 60-year-old guy in the face.
You're a UFC world-class fighter.
And,
yes.
And you might as well have biffed his ear.
Right. Like, I mean, you might as well have thrown a fucking paper ball at him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
It did not faze this dude one it didn't, little bit.
Dude was just like, hilarious. Well, you know, I'm still not drinking your shitty whiskey.
And now we reviewed it. It's... okay.
It's okay. It's I mean, great. It doesn't have a lot of taste, a lot of flavor. I mean, I'm not a... Like, listen, I drink Jameson.
I would say it's on par with Jameson, although if I had to choose between the two based on price point, Jameson wins hands down.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... It's not... It's really not that good. I think it's okay to say that. It's just not that good.
Right? You want to know how it's not that impressive? The bottle we bought for our show is in my office... since our whatever, and it's still there. Ugh. Do you know how many times at 1 a.m. I'm doing some stupid shit and I'm like, I feel like having a drink? There have been multiple bottles pushed into my desk drawer. This is kind of a bad reveal on me, yeah. Isn't it? This is not playing well.
You put that whiskey glass down, you drunk.
the fact that it's been replaced multiple times or been pushed back in the right. stack multiple times says... Yeah, I'll drink it. It made it upstairs. You made the walk up. But part of that is I need clear space in my liquor cabinet down here, and the fact that the bottle is still with us when many others have not.
God, I mean, it's been months.
Yeah, too. It's been 3 or 4 months. Absolutely. And it's not. Yeah, it's not bad.
Well, it's not bad. I mean, like, listen, we've had plenty of bad whiskey.
I forget we scored it at, but it was not.
I think like 89, 88. Yeah, which something is like
again,
that.
No insult.
It's all right. It's not that good. It's okay.
It's certainly not worth getting punched in the face over. But if you're going to get punched over the face over it and shake it off like that guy, kind of funny. And it's only.
It was funny
that the guy's like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, so Conor McGregor's crew drag him out. Did that guy even get out of his chair?
Mm-mm.
I mean, he just like, eh.
Punched him, like his face moved like, a little bit.
You want to do this week in Russia. This week in Ireland might be a better one. And if you're Conor McGregor, by the way, you should probably be finding countries where you're not getting into legal trouble. Because, yeah, had some issues here, too.
Well, I think all his issues here and there, because this happened back in April. They're just releasing the video now. He wasn't charged. And I feel like this is like a common occurrence in Ireland. So I feel like they're going to look at this a little bit different.
Well, you may be stereotyping. You're probably not wrong.
I'm not even... I'm not necessarily stereotyping. I mean, I'm just going off of like stories that Irish people have told me. Right? Like, I mean...
Stereotypes exist for a reason.
Yes. But I mean, we were at, you know, a place up the street, which is an Irish pub with a guy from Ireland. And, you know, I mean, he was telling us, he's like, listen, my brother can't drink whiskey because he will fight everyone in the bar. Right? I mean, like, that's literally his exact words.
That is.
He also said that he can only have 2 shots of whiskey and he has to go home because anything after 2, he becomes a big dick.
You know, I had a friend like that. This guy could get hammered on anything other than whiskey. And when he drank whiskey, he was a fucking lunatic. And I witnessed on 2 or 3 occasions, this guy was nuts. He was a good friend, but he was a goofy guy at work or whatever, but beer and vodka, fine. Whiskey, he just went off the lid.
Like, lost his shit.
Yes. And this was in a, like, we were both engineers in a professional setting, and he was doing shit that I would rather not talk about because he could have got arrested, and he's actually currently a very high-ranking guy at a major pharmaceutical company. So,
good there's for that. Him.
Yeah, it's good for him. All right, brother. Anything else you want to talk about before we shut this down?
I think we're good.
Little bonus talk.
A little short
bonus stuff. Enjoy it. Thank you very much. Again, we're at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. Jim at WhiskeyCongress.com. Steve at WhiskeyCongress.com to email us. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy the little kind of behind the scenes shit. We are out.